Welcome, children, to Spring Branch Academy, where we are seeking to instill wisdom and inspire worship in every student to the glory of God. And may the Lord bless it. We're still continuing with our look at God, the Trinity, three persons, but one being. And the three persons are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The incarnation of the Son, He is one person with two natures, divine nature and human nature. So again, definition of the Trinity, one being, three persons. Definition of the incarnation, one person, two natures. Let's look at now reviewing concurrence, that most of theology is both and, not either or. In other words, the Son of God is both God and man, and salvation is both God's work in calling us, and it involves our faith. And the Bible is God's word inspired, but also is written in human language. But when push comes to shove, it is God's work of salvation, the Bible is God's word, and Jesus is a divine person who has two natures. And so we give all the thanks to God for our salvation, for the Bible, and for His Son. Well, with regard to the attributes of God, we could divide them into two categories. And I learned a table prayer from my in-laws, and it goes like this. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for this food. By His hand we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Did you hear the great and the good? Great is big. That's the old meaning of great. It's large. In other words, God is really big. He's infinite, without limit. But He's really good. This is His personal side. And so if we look at what God is, He is great. If we look at who God is, He is good. We can, because we're made in God's image, if we are born again and the Holy Spirit is in us, He will change us to become more and more like God in His goodness. But we will never become like God in His greatness, knowing all things, being everywhere, dwelling outside time and space. Boy, we can hardly even do things around the house, let alone move the worlds around. And so God is big. And so we need to fear Him in His holiness, in that He is big, and then love Him in His goodness and desire to be like Him. And may the Lord give us that heart. God is great and God is good. These are the two sides of His attributes. He is infinite and He is personal, as Francis Schaeffer said. Well, in logic, we've considered lots of things now. Deductive logic and inductive logic, and even last time, abductive logic. That's normally a fallacy, but we saw if there's only one known cause for something, we can infer a cause from an effect. At least it's reasonable. It's not absolute, though, and none of this logical reasoning is absolute. We need revelation to have something firm and absolute. God, who knows all things, can tell us things that we can firmly believe. So what does it look like to reason then from God's revelation? Here's what it looks like. This is moral logic. What is right conforms to what is true. And what is true corresponds to reality, as God defines reality. Let me say that again. What is right conforms to what is true. And what is true corresponds to reality, as God defines reality. For example, this is reality. There's one God. Therefore, we should love only God. It is right to love God only because He only is God. You see how what is true corresponds to reality, and then what is right conforms to what is true. It's the same thing in math. Johnny, 2 plus 2 does not equal 5. That's a wrong answer because it doesn't conform to what is true. What is true is you have two things, and two things you get four things. And so this works across the board because all God's creatures have different levels. Many of them have different levels of glory. And it is right to save a dog versus saving a worm. And it is definitely right to save a child even over a dog. Because a child is worth more, made in God's image, than a dog. That's the truth. So if you had to choose, hopefully we don't, but if you had to choose, you choose the child. The Great Commission is when Jesus sends out his apostles. An apostle is somebody that is sent out in Jesus' name and with his word. He told them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Notice the alls, all authority, all nations, all commands, and all ways. Then at Pentecost, which would be about maybe 10 days to 40 days later or so, at that time, well, it'd actually be within that time because Jesus had not yet ascended. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the end of the earth." So Jesus is with us to the end of the age, and our mission is going to go to the end of the earth. This began at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were gathered in the upper room, and they went out and witnessed for Christ with power. The Lord's Prayer, this is the last week. And please note, the first three petitions, prayer requests, pertain to God, and then our needs are brought in. So our protection is if God wills, because His will be done is a greater prayer than even lead me not into temptation. Jesus prayed that way, didn't he, in the garden? Yet not my will, but your will be done. Let's say it together then. Our Father, here we go. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Give ear and hear the words of the wise, and set your heart to what I know. For words are pleasant when they arise, assembled and ready from down below. That in the Lord may be your trust, I teach you now today, I must. Have I not written to you 30 words in counsel and information, that you may learn, that you may answer the truth in recitation? 25. Do not fret the evil blaze, for evil men have numbered days. Do not fret the evil blaze, for evil men have numbered days. They may make a big show and they may look like they're going to destroy many things, and we may fret, be tempted to get angry that they're in power. But the Bible says, do not get angry. Do not fret over that. Don't let their fire ignite a fire in your soul. They have numbered days. Their big fire is actually a little lamp that God will touch as we do a wick of a candle. And he'll put it out. And so it's just a matter of time, children. Well, in math, we've been talking about triangles and talking about quadrilaterals. Today is regular polygons, which means they have equal sides and equal angles. A triangle, an equilateral triangle, is equal sides and equal angles, so it's a regular triangle. A square is a regular quadrilateral. Pentagon is a famous regular five-sided polygon. And a hexagon, like the end of a bolt, is a six-sided regular polygon. And of course, the stop sign. That's an octagon. So we have triangle, square, pentagon, hexagon, and octagon. What are the first 12 multiples of 10? This one's a fun one. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120. Remember Newton's three laws of motion? An object in motion will stay in motion unless acted upon by an outside object or force. And that force equals mass times acceleration. And that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And you remember Roy G. Biv, the colors of the spectrum. Do you know what R is? O? Y? G? B? I? And V? R-O-Y-G-B-I-V. Go back and review it if you don't remember them. Or maybe look at a rainbow. The four fundamental forces in physics, from the weakest to the strongest. Gravity, it's the weakest force. Then there's a weak nuclear force. It's in the nucleus of an atom. And then there's electromagnetism. Electrical charges either repel or attract. If they're the same or if they're opposite. Magnets are the same way, aren't they? And then there's the strong nuclear force in the nucleus of an atom that keeps those positively charged protons together. Otherwise, they would repel each other. But the strongest fundamental force in the universe is the strong nuclear force that keeps them together in the nucleus. Well, with regard to gravity, Newton, who's the one who supposed there was gravity as a force, said it's proportional to the mass of each object and inversely proportional to the square of the distance. Which, if that didn't make sense, what it means is, if I go twice as far from the center of the Earth, I will only weigh 1/4 of what I weigh now. I weigh 200 pounds. I'll only be 50 pounds. Or if I go to the moon, which is 1/6 of the Earth's mass, I'll only weigh about 33 pounds. And of course, if I lost weight, lost some of my mass, I would also have less pounds even on Earth, wouldn't I? So gravity is related to those three things: distance, the mass of the big object, and the mass of the little object, which compared to the Earth is you and me. With regard to the life of Christ, we saw that he was born in the reign of Herod the Great and in the reign of Caesar Augustus. He was born around 4 BC. That's when Herod the Great died. So maybe it was 6 BC, 5 BC, but around 4 BC. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. His hometown was Nazareth in Galilee. He began his ministry around AD 26. Luke tells us he was around 30 years old. His ministry base in Galilee was Capernaum. His ministry base in Judea was Bethany, the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He was killed and then raised to life around AD 30. And then ascended into heaven 40 days later after rising again. And you know where he was crucified, I bet. Jerusalem in Judea. Those numbers are significant. It's a ministry of 3.5 years, it seems, if you count up the Passovers. There's a little debate on that, but it seems right. And then 40 years later, the Romans came in and destroyed the city as a judgment for crucifying their Messiah. And so Jesus said he would increase their guilt, and this generation would experience the judgment. It's one way to interpret it. There's some debate on these things, children, but it seems significant to me that 40 years later, Jerusalem is destroyed, and so is its temple. One generation later. Well, in the Bible timeline, first John the Baptist, then Jesus the Savior, tempted by Satan, then teaching by seashore, casting out demons, then calling apostles, healing on Sabbath, the Pharisees hostile. Galilee finished, Jerusalem showdown, tried and betrayed, the cross for our sin. God raised up his Son, forever he wins. And who were those 12 apostles? Well, they were the men Jesus selected to be with him and to send out. Peter, Andrew, James, and John followed Jesus on and on. Matthew, Thomas, Philip too. Don't forget Bartholomew. Simon, Judas, little James. Jesus knew them all by name. All good men, but one that was not. Judas, the son of Iscariot. It's actually Judas Iscariot, but it's kind of fun to stretch it out. Judas, the son of Iscariot. Well, he's always mentioned last, and it always tells us in every list, he's the one who betrayed Jesus. But Peter's always mentioned first. And so is Matthew and Simon, or at least Matthew and I forget the other one that's named in the ninth place. Be that as it may, children, may the Lord bless each of you. May you learn these things to the glory of God, and may you love Him supremely, because there is no other supreme being. He alone is God. God bless you.